John chapter 10. And our text for this evening is that verse 16. John 10 and verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In the first 18 verses of the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus has much to say about the shepherd and his sheep. The Lord identifies himself as the shepherd, speaking about the shepherd first, and then going on to speak about the sheep. We see a number of interesting facts about the shepherd that is made clear here in this 10th chapter of John's Gospel. First of all, in speaking about himself, the shepherd, the Lord Jesus emphasizes his deity. That is, he is God. We see there in the verse 11, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We see in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. He's already mentioned himself, referred to himself as the door. He said, I am the door. Now we know that title, I am, is the name for Jehovah. And here the Lord Jesus refers to himself as the I Am. That takes us back to Exodus chapter 3. You recall there when Moses was called by God to deliver Israel out of Egypt. He was sent to Israel in Egypt, and he wanted to know of the Lord, whom will I say has sent me? And God spoke to Moses and said to Moses, tell them I am has sent you. I am is the name for God. And here we see then the Lord Jesus refers to himself as the I Am. If you go back in John's Gospel just a couple of chapters to the chapter 8. John chapter 8. We read in verse 57. Here the Lord again teaches the Pharisees that he is the I Am, that he is God. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus answered, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's all the Lord needed to say. We read in the next verse, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why were they ready to take up stones against him? Because he claimed that he's God. And so he is. Before Abraham was, I am. The same name that God told Moses about, tell them I am, has sent thee. And so we see that Christ is God. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16 that Christ is God manifest in flesh. God the Lord Jesus became man. And when we've often pointed out that when the Lord Jesus became man, he did not cease to be God. The Lord Jesus is the God-man. The Shorter Catechism tells us two distinct natures in one person, God forever. And the Lord not only referred to himself here as God and spoke of his deity, when speaking about himself as the Good Shepherd, he spoke not only of his deity, but of his humanity. His humanity. The Lord refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. He used the word for shepherd that refers to his humanity. Because that word shepherd that is repeated here in John 10, referring to Christ, the word shepherd is elsewhere in Scripture translated 551 times man. And so the word we have here translated shepherd is elsewhere translated man. And so here's the Lord in verse 11 saying, I am, as his deity, the Good Shepherd. He emphasizes there his humanity. And there we have the two distinct natures in one person referred to by the Lord Jesus himself. I am the Good Shepherd. And in his humanity, we see the Son identifies himself with his people because he's the God-man. You will find in the Gospels, when the Lord Jesus referred to himself, others referred to him as the Son of God, but the Lord Jesus always referred to himself as the Son of Man, identifying himself with man. He came down from heaven where he was the darling of the Father's bosom, second person of the Trinity, came into the world, took upon himself the form of human flesh. He became man. He's the God-man. But then, he refers to the sheep. He refers to the sheep. He also calls them my sheep. There in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Verse 26. Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then we come to our text, to the verse 16. And here the Lord says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Other sheep. And that is our subject for tonight. The shepherd and his other sheep. Who was he referring to? As I said, here we have another one of the musts of the Master. I must bring them, the Lord said. So let us then deal with the shepherd and the other sheep. First of all, I want us to notice tonight, the Lord here speaks about a divine possession. A divine possession. Christ, remember, is God, and he became man. And here we have a divine possession. The Savior said, other sheep I have. He was inferring that he already has sheep. Other sheep I have. which are not of this fold. Some have said that when the Lord Jesus here spoke about other sheep, he was referring to the Jews. But that's not correct. When the Lord said, other sheep I have, he wasn't referring to the Jews. We know that from verse 26. Verse 26, but ye believe not, he's speaking to the Jews. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You're not of my sheep. So he wasn't referring to the Jews when he spoke about other sheep. So who was the Lord speaking about? Who was he referring to? Was he not, first of all, referring to that little group of disciples? He had those disciples. They were with him at that time. And then he spoke about other sheep. That little group of disciples that he had at that time would have formed the fold that he spoke about, but then he spoke about other sheep. And when he mentioned the other sheep, he was referring to those who would believe on his name. Because he had only a small group of followers at that time, beginning of his ministry. And the Pharisees mocked him because he only had a small group of followers. And because they mocked him, having just a small group of followers, remember how the Pharisees always poured scorn on the Savior. And so the Lord responded with these words. The Lord responded by saying, other sheep I have. Oh no, I don't just have this group of followers here now. I have other sheep. And there you have, first of all, his claim. He made that claim. Other sheep I have. Upon making this claim, I'm sure not only the Pharisees but his own disciples wondered, who was he referring to? Who was the Lord talking about? Because the disciples knew there was only the 12 of them. And one of them was a devil, namely Judas Iscariot. And so those disciples would have looked around and seen the handful of followers that Christ had. And then the Lord said, but I have other sheep. So who was he referring to? The Lord here was speaking about those who would, in the future, believe on his name. And in the counsels of God, they were already his sheep. Oh, they were still in their sin. But they would believe. And that's why the Lord said, they're my sheep. He already referred to them as my sheep. Turn, please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18. Acts 18. And here's the Apostle Paul. And he's in Corinth. And he's met with opposition. So there in Acts 18, we read in verse 9, thus spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. As I said, he's met some opposition, and the Lord has come with a word of comfort. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Listen, for I have much people in the city. What did he mean? What did the Lord mean? The Lord was telling Paul, I have much people in this city, people who will believe on me through thy preaching. When Paul would go out again and preach in Corinth, there would be those who would believe. That's who the Lord was referring to. I have much people. I have many sheep in this city. I have many sheep here in Corinth. Hold not thy peace. Go and preach the word, and you will see men and women saved. They're my sheep. The Lord referred to them as my sheep, even before they had believed in the Lord's name. Even before they'd heard the gospel. The Lord says, they're my sheep. I have much people. I have people in this city. I have my sheep in this city. So we've seen the claim. There's also the certainty. Notice how certain the Lord was regarding other sheep. Because he said, other sheep I have. That's important. Other sheep I have. Even though no preacher had preached to them, not just in Corinth, but elsewhere, no one had dealt with them, no one had spoken to them about Christ, yet the Lord says, other sheep I have, I already have them. They haven't the gospel preached to them, but the Lord says, they're my sheep, I have. In the mind of God, in the plan and purpose of Christ, they were already his sheep. Think of it, dear believer. When the Lord stood that day, as recorded in John 10, and addressed the Jews, and said unto the Jews, other sheep I have. He was speaking about you and I. He was speaking about us. Because already the Lord was referring to us as his sheep. Other sheep I have. He was speaking about us. He was speaking about all of his people. Those who were saved, those who will be saved in the future, says, are my sheep. I already have them. You think of it. The Lord, and referring to us, we weren't even born when the Lord spoke those words. 2,000 years ago. We were not born, never mind been born again. But the Lord says, they're mine. I have them. And even then, we were in the hearts, in the heart, and the prayers of Christ. Turn to John 17. Known as the great high priestly prayer of Christ. In John 17. And there we read, in the verse 20, neither pray I for these alone. He's referring to his disciples. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And we are preaching their word tonight, the word that the disciples were given to preach. That's the word that's been handed down. We have it here before us in the Holy Scriptures. And here the Lord says, I pray not for them alone. I don't pray for the disciples alone, but I pray for them who will believe. That's us. Think of it, in his great high priestly prayer, Christ was praying for us. And praying for all those who would believe on his name and receive him as Savior. And regarding those other sheep, which included us, believer, the Lord said, them also I must bring. So the Lord, in referring to us, he was saying, I must bring them with me. The plan of salvation, isn't it something to be wondered at? As well as his claim regarding his divine possession, his claim and his certainty, that leads us to consider his chosen. There are those who tell us. There are those who tell us, and indeed preach it, that when it comes to the matter of salvation, they tell us that the Lord looks away out into the future. And he sees all who will call upon his name and believe in his name, and the Lord chooses them as his own. That's erroneous. I would totally and absolutely reject that, and I can do so in the authority of this word. Because if that was true, then salvation depended on me. Salvation would depend on me whether or not I call on the name of the Lord, whether or not I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But that's not true. What was the message that Jonah, if you like, preached in his prayer? Salvation is of the Lord. Not of me. Not of you. Not of anyone. Salvation is all of the Lord. And the Lord was able to say, other sheep I have. The other sheep he was referring to are those whom he chose to be his sheep. Not me choosing him. He chose me. Christ chose us to be his sheep. You say, well, when did he choose us? I was glad to hear Maura mention that in the prayer, because it confirmed then the word tonight, because she quoted the very words that I'm going to turn you to now. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Verse 4. How can you argue with these words? Verse 4, Ephesians 1, verse 4. According, listen, as he hath chosen us. No, we didn't choose him. According as he hath chosen us in him, Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. How can we argue with that and say that we're the Lord's sheep because we chose to be the Lord's sheep? And here we see, according he has chosen us in him. He has chosen us in Christ. When? From before the foundation of the world. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ by and to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not my will, God's will. That's why the Lord was able to say that day, as recorded in John chapter 10, other sheep I have, because Christ had a chosen people, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. You look at those words of Paul's, and I do not find one fingerprint of a son of Adam in those words, but I do see the hand of God. I do see the will of God. I do see the grace of God. So when the Savior, our shepherd, said, other sheep I have, not hope to have, not maybe, not perhaps, other sheep I have, the Lord says, those sheep chosen in me before the foundation of the world, I must bring with me. I must. Would the Lord leave one of his chosen ones behind? Never. So we have considered the divine possession. There is also here in the Savior's words the divine purpose. The sheep that are not of this fold, referred to in the first part of the verse, the Lord says, another sheep I have which are not of this fold, referring to the disciples, the fold. The word fold there is a word that means courtyard. Those that were gathered around the Lord at that time, those disciples. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, this group of followers that I have. Not only will the Lord bring with him those few that were followers of him, but he'll bring the other sheep also, those chosen in him with those disciples from the foundation of the world. And we see, first of all, the other sheep are included. That's what the Lord says. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So the Lord would bring 11 out of those 12 disciples. Again, there was Judas. He was never a true disciple, never a child of God, son of perdition. But the Lord says, as well as those 11 disciples, the other sheep, I will bring with me. So they are included. That is, we're included. So the other sheep, those who had not the gospel preached to them, the other sheep who had not yet believed, the other sheep who had been chosen before the foundation of the world, the Lord says, I must bring them too. They're included. And every one of his chosen, the Lord will bring to glory. And think of it. They're not but one empty seat in heaven. They're not but one empty seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. All of the Lord's sheep will be there. All who were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, they'll all be there, because the Lord says, other sheep I have. I already have them. The Good Shepherd says, of those sheep I have. And what Christ has, We could say, what Christ has, he holds. I've heard that expression before. What I have, I'll hold. Will you look there at the verse 27 of John 10? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Again, there's a false doctrine out there which tells us that a man can lose his salvation. Not a word of it. Not a word of it in all of Scripture. Genesis to Revelation. The Lord says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I remember talking to a man who believed that a Christian can perish. A person can lose his salvation. And I remember saying to him, well, the Lord says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. But he says, eternal life doesn't mean the eternal life. But those are very poor arguments. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says, well, everlasting doesn't mean everlasting. Well, it does, in my dictionary. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What I have, I hold. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I often think, when I look at those two verses, often think of two parents, mum and dad, and they're taking their little one out to a market perhaps, or into a mall, and mum has one hand in her hand, and the father has the other hand of the child in his hand. The little chance of that child being snatched away, mum and dad, both of them have that child in their hands. And here the Lord says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Then the next verse is that no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in the hand of the Father, and we're in the hand of the Son. And as we have emphasized before, Paul tells us the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. The word earnest is the word that means deposit. You go to a store, and you see a suite of furniture, and you put a deposit on it. And the storekeeper will put on that piece of furniture, sold. In other words, it's as good as yours. Because you paid the deposit. The Holy Ghost is the earnest of our salvation. He is our deposit for heaven. We are as sure of heaven as if we were already there. We're sure of heaven as if we were already there. And here the Lord says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. In other words, he must bring us to glory. He must bring us to heaven. And the Lord tells us that in John 14. Those very well known verses. In my Father's house, verse 2, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. so that where I am, there they may be also. The Lord going to leave us behind? Not a bit of them. The hymn writer got it right when he penned the words, "In this I shall find, for such is his mind, he'll not be in glory and leave me behind." Yes, the Lord said, "Them also I must bring." And the gates of glory will never be shut against us. Instead, we'll go marching through the streets of the New Jerusalem, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because God has said, "Them also I must bring." The other sheep are included. Regarding the other sheep, we have the insistence. The Lord says, "Those other sheep I must bring. I must," there she's insisting, "I must bring them with me." First of all, he must bring his other sheep with him, because those sheep have been presented to him. You say, what do I mean? John 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me," presented to us. The Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world and gave us to Christ, presented us to Christ. John 17, verse 9, again, his high priestly prayer, "I pray for them," his sheep, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine." The Lord says, "I must bring the other sheep with me because they've been presented to me by the Father." Other sheep I must bring, not only because they have been presented to him, but because he has paid for them. He paid for those sheep. Didn't the Lord pay for all of the sheep with his own precious blood? And that what we read there in the verse 11, "I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He giveth his life. In verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." The farmer goes to a market, and he looks there. The auctioneer getting people, farmers, to bid for a number of sheep in the pen. And at last one farmer says, "I'll pay the price." Those sheep are his. He's paid for them. And after the market's over, he'll back his truck up in and go with the men into that truck and take them off to his farm. They're his sheep. Why? Because he paid for them. And we're the Lord's sheep because he paid for us with his own blood. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no removal of sin. There is no salvation. And Christ laid down his life for his sheep. You recall how David, as a young 17, 18 year old, said that he would go out and fight Goliath, and his brothers laughed at him. And Saul, the king, wasn't too sure and said, "But sure, you're just a lad." And then David told Saul, "There was one day when I was watching the sheep, a bear and a lion came. And the lion grabbed one of the lambs in his jaws. And I went out and I grabbed the lion by the beard. And I delivered the lamb out of the jaws of the lion. And he slew the lion. That was a brave act of David. And you could say David risked his life in saving that lamb from the jaws of a lion. Yes, David risked his life. But Christ gave his life. He laid down his life there at Calvary. He gave his life for the sheep. And every blood-bought soul will be in glory. Christ says, that's a must. I must bring them with me. He insists upon it. As well as the sheep being presented to him, as well as the sheep being paid for by him, he must bring them to glory because he prayed for them. We noted that in John 17 verses 9 and 20. I pray not for the world, I pray for them. And the Lord has prayed for us. Now if the Lord has prayed for his sheep, and the Lord has paid for his sheep, and the Lord has had the sheep presented to him, then the Lord says, I must bring them. Cannot leave them behind. Would the prayers of Christ be denied? Not at all. Would any for whom the Savior prayed, would he not bring them with him? Never. Would any for whom the Savior prayed, would he not bring them? Would they be lost? That's impossible. We've already noted that. I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. And the Lord emphasized that again there in John 18. For there in John 18, in the verses 7 to 9, the crowd has come to Gethsemane to arrest the Lord, led by Judas. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. There's the I am again. Notice the word he is in italics. I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That was his disciples. Let them go. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. I've lost none. That's some record, isn't it? There's not many shepherds could say that in their years of shepherding. I've never lost one sheep. I've never lost a lamb. But Christ was able to say, of all the Father has given me, I've lost none. The Lord goes on then in our text, not only to speak of the sheep who are included, and the sheep of whom he insists will be with him, but he speaks about the invitation. Other sheep, them also I must bring, and the Lord goes on to say, they shall hear my voice. They will hear the gospel. Paul tells us in Romans 10, in verses 14 and 17, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, the Lord has sent out his preachers. That is great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because the Lord has his sheep out there in the world and they need to hear the gospel. They're my sheep. They need to hear the invitation of the gospel. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. A divine possession, a divine purpose, and a divine promise. The Lord here says, another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold. That word fold is different from the word fold at the beginning of the verse. The one at the beginning of the verse refers to a courtyard, to a pen if you like. But the second word fold, at the end of the verse, there shall be one fold. It means a flock. It's a different word. There will be one flock, and here the Lord speaks about the sheep. And the flock will be made up of all the Lord's sheep, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. No, they will not be divided into Protestant, they'll not be divided into Presbyterian, or even Free Presbyterian. They'll not be divided into Baptists, or Anglicans, or Methodists. They're one flock. The only reason they are there is not because of denominational name. They'll be in heaven because Christ has bought and paid for them with his own blood. That's why. Because he chose them before the foundation of the world. That's why we'll all be in heaven. Those who are saved by grace. Because we're chosen. Not because of any denominational label. Most definitely not. One flock. All washed in the blood. As well as the sheep, you have the shepherd. Yes, in heaven, in the one fold, all gathered around one shepherd. There in heaven, there is one church, one flock, one people, all washed in the blood of the good shepherd. Let us rejoice that we're numbered with those of whom the Lord spoke here. Other sheep I must bring. And we're numbered with the other sheep, which are not of this fold. Them also I must. No power in hell will keep us out of heaven. No power in hell or earth will keep the blood-bought children of God out of heaven. The Lord says, I must bring them. And we'll be there. We'll be there. By and by. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let us pray. Dear Lord God and eternal Father, we thank thee for the word of God. How it encourages us, how it teaches us that what we are in thy sight, and all who are saved today can say, I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God knew me. O Lord, we thank thee that thou didst love us before we loved thee. We thank thee for the great work of salvation. We thank thee for our great shepherd. Come into the world to save his sheep, to save us from our sin. For we know, Lord, unless our sins have been washed away in the blood of Christ, we'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the deed is done. The price has been paid. O Lord, we thank thee for thy great work of salvation and for laying down thy life for us there on the cross of Calvary and receiving us unto thyself. Lord, again, write this word upon all of our hearts. Bless us now and be with us, Lord, throughout this week. Keep us all safe and well and healthy. Remember those who are working in hospitals on the front lines. Be with them and protect them. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.